Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with Simon Boyce, the co-coach of the Austin Crows in the United States Australian Football League. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning to you, Jason. Afternoon to me.
Yes. There is something of a time difference. Simon, perhaps you could begin by telling us how you got involved in Australian football in Texas.
Yeah, sure. So I'm an Aussie from Mildura, Victoria, and played footy growing up all the way through under-18s and the beginning of a senior career down in Irimpel, which is just outside Mildura. And then I actually came over to the US when I was 18 and played college tennis here in Austin, Texas, at a college. And then when I was about 23, 24, I was done with college tennis and looking for something to keep me busy on weekends. And the footy boys had really just gotten started with the club over here. Typical trainings were 4 to 6 guys having a kick around. So we slowly got that together, and we went to our first USAFL Nationals in, would have been 2008 in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And it's kind of just gone from there. So I've had a coaching role pretty much ever since.
Okay. The Austin Crows, this is an 18-a-side club, or...?
Yeah, so at Nationals, yes. Most of the time during the year, yes. Every now and then you may travel to somewhere, and sometimes you're restricted by the size of the ground, so we might play 16s or if we're traveling light. But in a healthy year like we've just had, it was all 18-on-18.
Nice. How many games do you play a year?
Yeah. So it varies by year, but the season leading up to the national tournament is normally around 10 games against other teams in the USAFL. And then we supplement that with a good 8 to 10 game metro season, or what we call an intra-club season, where we'll break into 2 or 3 teams and go at each other. It's just hard to travel with. We've really got 3 teams within driving distance of us in Texas, Houston and Dallas. So we normally see them, every 3 or 4 weeks. But it gets a bit old just playing 3 teams. So we fly out to 1 or 2 tournaments, including the national tournament, which was just recently held.
Okay. So you would say that you basically have like was it 10 or 12 a-side competition?
Yeah, the Metro this year was good. We had good numbers, so we're actually playing 14s and sometimes 16s in that comp too. In the local Austin comp, that is we play that to develop the Americans probably more so and get a bit of fitness. But then once we get to the what we call our Texas AFL or the Texas competition, we are doing 18-on-18 in that games.
Yeah. Just for the benefit of people that are listening, what is Metro footy?
I think metro footy is just the slang term for metropolitan or local footy. Every club in the US has to do it because we just can't afford to travel all the time. So you're going to split your guys up into 2, 3, some clubs with big cities, maybe in New York, and some of the California teams, they have enough for 4 teams. And they just go at it locally. Some players you get don't want to travel and play the USAFL schedule, so they're just metro players. And then the metro comp kind of feeds into your rep team for your city, and we pick from there, and that's how we improve that way.
Okay, so basically the USAFL is more or less made up of a lot of metro teams that have, you'd say, representative sides for each city then?
Yeah, I think the latest count's somewhere around 40 USAFL clubs. And then each club internally from there is going to have your metro teams involved from there. But we're Austin, and we don't think of it as metro. We split up for a few, maybe a 2-month metro season or something like that. The boys are all Austin, and we don't worry too much about the competitiveness of that. It's mainly just for the development and because we have to.
Yep. So in what ways do the rules of metro differ to an 18-a-side game?
In Austin, we don't do any differences. We throw new players straight in, and they'll throw the ball a little bit. They'll get caught tackling high, but we throw him in at the deep end and think that's the best way. There's other formats that other clubs, that I know other clubs use, that are some, you know, not as rough on the contact and some modified rules. But here in Austin, and I'd say most of the clubs, they do it where it's a straight, the rules are the same. It's just maybe a slightly smaller ground and you don't have as many people on it.
Okay. Do you have an oval you play on in Austin, or are you just using like a park, or...?
Yeah, no, we don't. There's no club in the US that really has an established footy ground. There's one or two. There's Florida that's got access to a bit of a cricket ground, and then there's one in Indianapolis that I'm not sure if it's completed yet, but they're supposed to be having that. Other than that, we all rely on big parks and big soccer facilities. Some cities struggle a lot. I spent a bit of time in DC for a year and a half, and we had trouble with grounds in Washington, DC. Funnily enough, Austin, Texas, we're blessed. We do have a home training track that we always get a really good hit out on, which is big and large. The city doesn't like us putting our posts in and playing games there, so we've got a couple of places where we rent about three or four soccer fields and make our fields for those Texas AFL games.
Okay. You recently had the US AFL Nationals. Their billed as the biggest Australian football tournament in the world. The USAFL website says more than 1,000 players will turned up for it. How big is it?
It's a big deal to us. When my wife's not around, I tell her it's my favourite weekend for the year for an expat Aussie. All 40 USAFL teams fly in, and they're all going to carry anywhere from 20 to 30 players. So you've got a lot of expat Aussies. You've got the best Americans come to it. It's our big tournament for the year to say who's the best. The grand finals played in front of, you know, maybe a couple of thousand people. It's kind of a country footy atmosphere on the final day. There's beer tents, there's food vendors, music playing, commentary. The grand final has a great atmosphere. It's kind of like a country footy day for us on that final Sunday of the finals.
Now, it was held in Austin this year. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah, we were a bit blessed on that front. That
save on the travel costs.
Yeah, we had a full team to select from. We slept in our own beds and we were at full strength, so it helped. Everyone loves coming to Austin. I think it's on the radar for tourists at the moment. It's a great city. We put in the bid for it about 4 or 5 years ago and won it, and we hosted that the tournament 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then everyone voted to bring it back pretty much straight away, and hopefully it comes back soon, but they may not let it come back soon if after our win.
Okay. The bidding process, how does that work?
Yeah, it's normally a bit of a coordination between the local clubs. So in our case, it was the Austin Crows, and we worked with the city of Austin, and you put in your bid, and there's some grant money that helped us. The city of Austin was willing to put in some grant money to spend to pay for a lot of the hard costs. And then it's just about people on the USAFL board will do some voting. Is it a desirable city for people to travel to and spend their money to go to? And then probably are the facilities of the fields up to par? That's the big one. There's only been 6 or 8 cities in America host the tournament, and it's just because you need 5 footy fields. There's four divisions and a women's division. There's 4 men's divisions and a women's division, so you need 3 really normal-sized footy grounds and a couple of smaller grounds, and you don't get that kind of space in America at the same venue.
Okay. This is the second time you guys have had it in Austin?
Yeah, second time.
What was your... like, did you have any involvement in the organisation of it, or it was just you were just the coach of the Austin guys?
Yeah, The first time we did it, I was more involved. We put in the bid and we helped out a lot. This time, the USAFL does a really good job running it. Austin helps in a couple of areas with some vendor stuff and a little bit of the field prep. But other than that, the USAFL have a really good staff and a good base of volunteers that run it. we on the weekend, you know, we focused on playing footy, and that was a blessing.
Okay, and the AFL apparently even sent down recent draftees from America. How were they?
Yeah, no, it was a really good atmosphere. Once again, the three Americans that are over there in Oz, or about to be over there in Oz, were present, and also Nick Riewoldt, and then the other one was Patty Mills, the NBA player for the San Antonio Spurs and the Australian Boomer. He's actually a friend of our club. We've hung out with him a little bit down in San Antonio, and he loves his footy, so it was good to catch up with him again. He came out, but the USAFL and the AFL are really trying to get a foothold over here with kind of the taller ruckman that has a basketball background. So, you know, you had three big guys that had a basketball background over here, and now they're trying to probably become the ruck, maybe center half forward type in Oz. Trying to think of the beast. Eric Wallace is with North Melbourne, and then there's two guys about to go over there that haven't done a season yet. So yeah,
Patrick,
it's good to have those guys around. They were, you know, they would talk and mingle with people and get in the commentary booth a little bit. And then they kind of help participate in an alumni game, coaching. And then actually the other one that came over, Subiaco Football Club sent over about 30 people. Part of their end of season trip was a bit of a cultural experience. So they helped out with a coaching clinic, and they played an exhibition game and were involved with throughout the weekend too. So it just helps with the atmosphere and shows that, you know, the AFL and the USAFL are trying to really make this legit and branch out.
Well, it does seem that combined with like the combines and everything they're now running over there, they are taking the US very seriously. And three draftees in 2 years seems to reflect that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tony Woods came over also, and that's his role now as an international
development guy. Yep.
So Woodsy was over here, and he's, you know, they're on the lookout for Americans. They know it's a big, big market if they can get just a small hold of it. And the sport is growing in popularity over here. So,
And you guys won the tournament, didn't you? In the end,
we did. We kind of shocked and awed everyone. We kind of went in as a four seed, I think, in the Division One tournament. This was our first year playing in Division One. We've moved up the divisions over the last 4 or 5 years. We were runner up in Division Two a couple of years ago. We knew we had a good team early on in the year, and we decided we'd travel to Denver, who's the perennial powerhouse in the league, mid-season to test ourselves, and we took a pretty good win in Denver, and that kind of gave us the incentive to move up to Division One and give it a crack.
Okay, now, are there restrictions on the number of expat Australians that can play in the sides at the Nationals?
Yeah, so you've got to be 50% American-born on the field at all times.
So, in your experience, how many Australians would there be in an average side?
The teams that are winning it are very close to their quota. We played at our quota, or we maybe played 10 Americans on the field at times. The New York and Calgary guys had more Aussies, so they had a pretty Aussie-laden bench in addition to their 9 or 10 Americans. But We talk about it as a club. We still think that the Aussies cancel out. There's good Aussies over here. There's ex-VFL. There's guys that have been on AFL lists that are a bit older now, but they still know their footy. We believe the Aussies cancel out, and we stress that it comes down to the Americans, and that's why we think we got through against New York and Calgary in the semi-final and the final.
Okay. Would you have any idea how many players, like the actual players that come down overall, that would be fairly representative of the total number? Yeah, like in the USAFL at the moment. Like if you've got to put together like 25 to 30 players to come down for the Nationals, that's going to be pretty close to the total number of players in the USAFL, yes?
Yeah, I would agree with that from the representative of your city standpoint, but We probably had another 10 to 15 that competed just in the local comp that don't really strive to play at the higher competitive intercity comp, but they want to play. So, and I know New York has probably 120 players to pick from throughout the year. They've got a really strong local competition. So the number probably, when you count your metro players, it may almost double. And you know, then you pick your team that goes away and plays at the national tournament, kind of representing your city.
Okay. What else? The International Cup's coming up.
Yep.
How do you guys see that from your end?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. I've been involved in the USAFL for 5 or 6 years now, and you know, it's talked about, and there's a pride factor, and we're pulling for the US boys to do well. They've improved a lot over the last 3 to 5 years, and I've seen that. The standard of the American players really lifted. We've had 2 or 3 Crows represent America in the past, and that makes us feel pretty good. And we talk to the US coaches regularly, and we've told them that 4 or 5 of our guys from our premiership side needs to be playing on that team in Australia next year. So we've got a few really good Americans, and 2 of them were first-year guys that just picked up the sport incredibly quickly, and they need to be on that team. So I think America will come over there and give it a shake and be a top 4 or 5 team in the world. It's tough when you're playing against New Zealand and maybe some of the islands that get a little more footy each year. But, you know, the American guys will give it a crack, and they're definitely very, very professional about it, and they're working hard to try and meet some goals.
Okay, and just I noticed your website mentions that you're looking at establishing like a children's Aussie rules league, like Aus Kick is for us.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that something to do with the USAFL's? I can't remember what it's called now. US footy or whatever it is.
Yeah. So Chris Adams, I think, kick-started it up in DC, and I actually, when I was living in DC, I assisted Chris with it too. He's got a really cool little kids program that he gets. You know, anywhere from 30 to 50 youngsters out there on a Saturday, and doing his footy, very similar to Aus Kick model, and it's something we're going to try and do here a bit more in Austin too. As our players are getting older and they've now got young kids, we've now got the base to do it. So it's something that's a goal of ours, and the other goal is to add a women's club to our team, which. Probably about a third of the clubs in the US have women's teams, and it seems to just hold the club together well. And obviously, guys like being around girls, so it probably helps in the long run if you've got a women's team.
Yeah, for sure. Now, if I was in Austin or I was in Texas and I wanted to become involved in Australian football, how would I go about that?
Yeah, it's kind of your traditional ways. I mean, we've got our website that people email us. We'll get Facebook's another good way that people hear about us, and then it's word of mouth. We have a lot of young people float through Austin for a year or two, and then they go back and tell their mates, and their mates come through and they reach out to us. So we got a couple emails today from Aussies that just moved to town and want to play. So hopefully we'll get them out next year, and then we do some recruiting. As I said, it comes down to your Americans, in our opinion. So we go out and recruit young Americans in various ways and try and find young athletic Americans that are interested in the sport. But it really comes down to word of mouth and mates bringing out mates and that kind of thing.
Okay. I think that's about all the questions I have in particular. Did you have anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No. Thank you for the opportunity and good coverage of keep doing your good coverage of footy.
Okay, I've been talking to Simon Boyce, the co-coach of the Austin Crows, the victorious Austin Crows, and congratulations once again on your win at the US Nationals. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jason.